We are going to be in Psalms 46. And with all of this tragedy going on, it got me thinking about safety. And the title was, I Am Safe. I am safe because we are in the hands of God. Whatever happens to us, we realize we are safe. And that's what gives me peace. And that's where real faith comes in, to realize that I'm not going to live my life in fear because I'm in the hands of the Lord. You know, you hear people say, well, when it's my time, it's my time. Or people say, well, I'm not going to God's ready for me. Or I'm not going to, you know, and I do believe in all of that. I truly believe that there's an appointed time all of us have. And nobody knows the day of that but God. And so I'm going to trust God that with all the days he's given me, he can take care of me. And when it's my time to go home, I'll go home. And I'm just not going to worry about it. I'm going to trust him. I'm going to live life to the fullest. The worst thing we can do is let the evil of others try to disrupt our daily lives. We can't do that. We are the children of God. And though there is disaster all around us and tragedy all around us, we have to keep trusting the presence of God that's in us, that keeps us and that watches us and that stabilizes us. So don't live your life in fear. Don't be afraid to go places. Don't be afraid to do things. That's what the devil wants, to keep us in fear. And I do have peace. I have peace every day. I have peace in my home. I have peace here. I have peace to go watch over my family. I've got that peace. And the reason I have that peace is because of what Psalms 46 tells me, or one of the reasons. Look at verse 1. It says, God is our refuge. He's our strength, a very present help in trouble. God's presence is present. And that's what I love. God's presence is present. It's right now. It's here. And it's forever. And he's not going to leave me or forsake me. Even in moments when I can't explain things away, I trust his hand of mercy. Because there is nobody that can, I don't care how religious or educated they are spiritually, there's nobody that can give a clear answer to why what happened in Texas happened. Why? These people are worshiping the Lord. 18-month-old baby killed. 72-year-old woman killed. 14-year-old pastor's daughter killed. There is no answer that any man can give that really makes any sense. Because some will say, well, you know, there's many reasons people may try to give, but there's no reason that really makes sense. So what do we do in a situation like that? We trust God through it all. Think about the 12 original disciples. They were all martyred for the cause of Christ. Martyred. That don't seem very fair. I followed you, Jesus, now I'm crucified for it. I followed you, now they cut my head off for you. I followed you, now they threw me in prison to rot the rest of my life. Whatever the situation was, even his own disciples paid a dear price for following Jesus. But see, their hands weren't really in the hands of their captors, and their hands wasn't in the hands of the evildoers, and their hands weren't in the hands of the terrorists. Their hands were in the hands of God, and God took care of them. And when they left this earth, they went to be with the Lord. And that's what how we are as Christians. Whatever takes us out, a plane crash, a car wreck, a bullet, a cancer, whatever comes against us, whatever takes people out, we love. We have to understand and realize that they're out of here, but they're in the presence of God. So God still has a victory, and they still won. So God is my refuge, and God is my strength, and he's a very present help in time of trouble. Verse 2. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, though the mountains be carried in the midst of the sea, though the waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. No matter what happens, the psalmist is saying, no matter what happens, God's present, and God's the refuge, and God's in control. Nothing can happen, and I truly believe this, nothing can happen outside the governing will of God. Nothing can happen outside the will of God. Because I do believe that God is in control of all things. And I trust that. I trust God being in control. I trust God that he knows what he's doing. I trust God that he is a safe haven. I trust God that he sees my future. I trust God that he forgave my past. I trust God that he's in my present. I trust God. I believe God that he's got me no matter what happens. I trust God not only with my physical safety, but I trust God with my spiritual security. I trust God with that. I trust that the blood of Jesus is enough. I trust the cross is enough. I trust the resurrection is enough. I trust the empty tomb is enough. I trust that. I just trust that. By faith we are saved, it says. We are justified by faith through his name. We are reconciled by faith through his name. We are sanctified by faith through his name. We are glorified by faith through his name. So I trust that. And I trust that, God, if you saved my soul, you died for my sins, you prepared for me an inheritance, that you are in control of all of my steps, all of my ways, all of my order, all of my journey, all of my path. Every door you close, you closed. Every door it's opened, you opened. Every path you clear, you clear. Every path you shut down, God. I trust you with that. It's all on you, God. You're the head of everything in my life, and I trust you with that. That's, I think, where we need to be for our faith to become alive. Because so many times, man, we think we control God. Or we think that if something works out negative, we didn't do enough. I didn't fast long enough. I didn't pray long enough. I didn't, as the old religious people used to say, I didn't press through enough. I trust God. I trust. He put breath in my body. I didn't ask to be born. Mom and Dad fell in love, and it happened. I didn't ask for a life. I didn't ask to exist. But God's breath purposely and intentionally created me. I was created on purpose. For those that say, well, you know, you were by accident. Asher talking about that with me and Mama. So, you know, there's a lot of years, except, you know, I'm 5 years younger than Jamie. Y'all keep saying, y'all sure I wasn't an accident? No, actually, I promise you were planned by us. You were no accident. Mella kept saying somebody's missing. I feel like somebody's missing. Oh, my God, was she right. Somebody was so missing. There are no true accidents. You may have not meant on your own to have a baby, but that life is truly not up to you. That life and that breath still came from the hand of God. We can't create life. I understand the biological part of what makes that happen. I learned that a few years ago. But I realize the biological part has no power without the spiritual part breathing on it. It's the spiritual part. It's God's hand that makes that magic work and produce a human being. And so I don't believe in accidental bursts. I don't believe in accidents happening. I think each one of us are on purpose, though our life may be filled with turmoil. And you may say, why was I even born? For all of my days, like Job said, have been filled with sorrow and travail. I mean, why was I born? Because my life sure hadn't been that great. I can't answer why you were born. I just know you were supposed to be born. You were supposed to be here. It wasn't just some cosmic scientific explosion that made you come here. Just wasn't some, you know, drunken moment your parents or had one night and it just happened. I mean, God's hand still had to create that life. And so when we start recognizing God being supreme and powerful over everything in our lives, every mountain, he's still God. Every valley we're in, he's still God. We tend to think that when doors are shut, that God's against us, that we're not as good as so-and-so, we're not doing enough stuff as so-and-so, and I'm not speaking enough or prophesying enough or praying enough or whatever, I'm not doing enough. And what we're doing is we are saying that we have the power to make God do something that is not in his will to do for our lives. Remember what Jesus, when we taught him how to pray, how he taught him how to pray? Your will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Your will be done. See, there's a lot of things I want. There's a lot of things I want, man. A red Corvette and a beach house and a head full of hair. Hallelujah, praise Jesus. I'd be happy. But you know what? I might not look quite as good with hair. And that Corvette would break down. It's a Chevrolet. And no, my luck, that beach house would flood because I'd be there for 2 months and Hurricane 5, Cat 5 would come by and just wipe it off the sticks. Be my luck. So God just knows all that. So I don't have a red Corvette. I don't have a beach house. And I don't have no head full of hair. Man, I would keep her hands off if I had a head full of hair. She can barely keep them off of me now. So think about how I would get nothing done around here. See, God knows what he's doing. And sometimes our will being pushed, and we thank God not answering that because, and I don't mean to be critical, church. I grew up like this. I'm telling you, God has changed how I think about a lot of things in the past 15 years. But I grew up, and some of us grew up hearing this, that the more blessed we are, the more favor of God we walk in. And the more things we have, the more we must be doing things right. And the more money we give to the church, the more blessed that will be. And what we're doing, we're tagging. We're trying to make God almost like a puppet on a string. I do this, God does that. I do this, and God does that. I'm going to tell you how I feel. God does what he wishes and wills to do. That's what God does. Joseph was in prison. Innocently. He shouldn't have been in prison for 2 years. Remember Potiphar's wife come on to him and he refused her. But then she lied on Joseph and says, husband, Joseph tried to sleep with me. He did not try to sleep with her. He was completely innocent. In fact, the Bible says he ran away from her. Yet he's in prison for 2 years. I wonder if Joseph was thinking, my God, I didn't sleep with her. Didn't have no fun, God. And now I'm in prison 2 years for it. I turned her down, and I'm in prison for 2 years for it. His brothers threw him in a pit, remember, to leave him to die. Then they sold him into slavery, his own kin. Can you imagine Mom and Barbara and Loretta selling Angela? Say, hey, here, make her a slave. We'll go get rid of her. Just throw her in a hole and leave her. Sell her as a slave. My God, his own kin did that. Joseph, a slave in a pit to die, and then a prisoner. Many would say that knew Joseph, I wasn't going to serve your God. What God would let that happen to your life? But see, God was working out a greater plan beyond all that. God's will. Joseph was supposed to be put in that pit. He was supposed to be sold as a slave. He was supposed to be in prison. It wasn't anything Joseph did. It was what God was doing in Joseph and in his life. So I'm trying to say, we can trust God. Not just trust him when the bills are being paid. Not just trust him when you got electricity and running water. But trust him in everything. Trust him in every season. Trust him in every moment. Trust him in every victory. And also trust him, and yes, I'm saying this, even in every defeat. Because I don't care what we say, Christians, we have moments of defeat. We have seasons of lowliness. We have seasons of darkness. We have seasons of uncertainty. I don't care how Holy Ghost filled we are. We have moments of frustration, moments of fear, moments of confusion, moments of weakness. And what do we do in those moments? We keep trusting. We keep believing. And we keep serving. And we keep standing. Because God has not left you in your bad season. Sometimes our bad seasons, I'll say this. If I want to say, man, did I say it, God? If I'm going to say this, it's got to back up what I've been saying, I guess. All of our seasons are part of God's plan for our lives. You know, we tend to think a lot of ourselves sometimes because what we do is, you know, look, let me give you an example. I was a pretty good kid growing up. I really was. Mom and Dad, I was a good son, wasn't I? Grandma, I was a good grandchild, wasn't I? Aunt Barbara, I was a good nephew, wasn't I? Thank you very much. Mally, I'm a good husband. Barbara, I'm a good nephew. Okay. Anyway, I was a good kid. Mally was a good kid. We talked about our history. I mean, Mally told me stories that make you cry. She would make a Lifetime movie, I'm telling you. Be a hit. I mean, we were both good kids. I grew up as a teenager. I never got arrested. I never got on drugs. I've never got drinking alcohol. I never cursed my parents. I raised my voice to mom, not dad, a time or two. But I didn't steal as a little boy. I didn't sleep around women as a teenager. I mean, far as you want to go by moral code, right? Moral code. I lived by the religious book to the best of my ability. The worst sin I had probably was my long hair. And it wasn't real long. It just was a little bit long. I mean, I didn't do those things. And I stayed on a good path. I was an honorable son. I tried to be an honorable husband. All of that. Well, you know what? And Melanie, the same way. Great kid, great daughter. Story should tell. I mean, she was a wonderful, wonderful. There's stories I could just tell. She was wonderful. A wonderful child and a sibling to her younger siblings. But you know what? Me and Melanie have definitely, individually, had our own separate and together separate attacks in our lives. We've had things to rise up that you know, the old saying as a parent, I never thought my kid would do that. Right? We hear that? Well, that's how I feel. Never thought my kid would do that. You know, and Melly, as she has said before, is, you know, battling a physical issue that she has not got healing from, that she needs healing from. And if you look at it by that way, that doesn't look right. I was a good kid. I did all this stuff right. I prayed. I went to church. I gave my tithes. You know, I worshiped God. I didn't cuss, didn't drink, didn't do drugs, didn't do all this stuff, didn't sleep around. Whatever you want to call moral code. You know, whatever it is. You know, I never got my ears pierced, a guy. That was a big deal when I was growing up in the 80s. Every guy got the ear. I didn't get my ears pierced. To me, it don't matter. I'm just saying all the things that we may think, the things in that time period I didn't do. I didn't pierce my ear, never got a tattoo. I know what you're thinking, man. You were a bore. I wasn't a poser. I didn't do nothing. Oh, I got the magnetic ones one time because I wanted to see how it would be. So I went and got the magnetic diamond studs and put in my ear. But it kept getting lost in Melanie's hair, and we was on a date, so I couldn't ever find it, so I didn't go work. So anyway, got rid of them. Y'all get the picture. So, I mean, I really did. I mean, now I did listen to some rock and roll music when I was a teenager. I did listen to, you know, some Bon Jovi and Def Leppard and Guns, and I had a 12-inch bass woofer in the back of my Firebird, and I would put that in, and my MC Hammer, my CC Music Factory, and all that stuff, you know, and I'd have my bass turned up, and I'd be jamming, and I'd have my tinted windows, and I mean, yeah, I guess I was a poser. I was acting like a bad boy without the bad. My whole point of saying that is me and Melanie's lives, and Bill grew up with me. I was a good teenager, was I not, Bill? He grew up with me when I was 14 years old. Thank you. Right answer. Very good. Muy bien. Sometimes it doesn't seem fair. God, why is Melanie under physical attack? You know, why have we had a child that has caused so much trouble in our lives, so much unrest, and he wasn't raised that way? So if I think it's about me, then I'm going to live a life of misery, because I know me and Melanie did the best we could as kids growing up, and the best we could, and still are, as parents to our children. We make mistakes, yes, but we do the best that we can. And so for us to think that tragedy doesn't come to us doesn't mean that we're not being blessed. I've heard a preacher say this, and it frustrates me. Somebody I knew died. I heard a preacher say, well, he didn't have enough faith. Had more faith, he'd have lived. That just hurt me. Something went up my spine when I heard that. Who's the giver of life? Who's in control of our life? God. I mean, how dare us? Yes, I believe in the power of prayer. I believe in faith. Yes. But what's happened is we put so much emphasis that if that doesn't work out, what does it do to the believer? Ooh, like a balloon being deflated. But if your trust is in God and what Romans 8 really says, 28, all things work out for good to them that are called according to his purpose. We got to believe that verse. I know we pray for folks and they still die and it disrupts us. But it shouldn't. Not if our faith is in the hand of God. Because God, you know best. I've seen so many believers lose so much of their power and spiritual authority because a prayer didn't get answered the way they prayed it. Versus trusting God that he knows what he's doing. Our faith's got to be in God, not in us, but in what his will is. There is a river, the Bible says, the streams where God make glad the city of God. Wherefore shall make glad the city of God, the holy place, other tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of that city. It shall not be moved. God shall help her. And that right early. That right early translates into at the dawn, beginning of the day. God's help is with us at the beginning of every day. Every day God's help's with us. And God is in the middle of us. And God's in the middle of our situation. And God has not forsaken us. And God is with us. I'm not trying to make a cop-out answer. It's what I really believe. Because I've seen two people be hurt because if something, you know, people are now trying to say, where was God in that Texas church? If there's a God, why would he allow that to happen? Once again, there is no answer going to satisfy everybody. I just know this. It's not the worst place to go. They're in church worshiping the Lord. And their life is over. Well, who's really hurt is the ones left behind. The ones going on are not hurting anymore. But the ones left behind are picking up the pieces. Yes. Have you heard they're tearing that church down and rebuilding another one? I saw a story. I hadn't seen the validity of it, if it's true. But I caught a caption where it said that an anonymous donor is funding the building of that new church for them. Which is amazing. See, from tragedy, we see triumph. From grief, we see mercy. From sorrow, we see joy. There's no answer to why these things happen. But I know I don't have the power to truly stop it. But I know the God in me does. And that's what I trust. I trust the God that's in me to watch my children, to watch my wife, to watch our home. It's the God that I serve who protects and seals. It's the God that I serve who goes before me and surrounds me. It's the God that I serve that ordains my steps. It's the God that I serve that goes ahead and gets those obstacles and enemies out of my way so they don't destroy me. It's not me. It's not what I do. It's him. It's what he has done. He is King of Kings now. He is Lord of Lords now. He is the ruler of all creation now. He is above all things now. There is no name higher than his name now, and it's through him that I am safe. It's through him that I am sealed. It's through him that I have rest. It's through him that I have peace. It's through him that I have joy. And my joy and my peace and all of that cannot be attached to what I'm battling now. It can't be attached to things of this world, because if it is, my faith's not really in him. It's in that. And my faith needs to be not in that, but in him, that he knows best for me in every season, in every tomorrow, in every spot of my life. He knows what's best. So many times our spiritual walk is based on what God is doing for us instead of what we are doing for God. I'm serving God no matter what. I'm going to, you know, I use a story of Vance Henry many times because Vance was such a strong soldier of the Lord. And Vance Henry suffered so many physical afflictions. He had bone cancer. He had heart issues. He had diabetes. He was on dialysis. He had oxygen. He couldn't hardly breathe. I mean, that man for years suffered physically. But whenever you was around him, he never talked about that. He always talked about God, the goodness of God, the goodness of his mercy, all the times he'd been blessed. It was all about God. It was not about him. Because Vance's faith was not attached to his, whether I'm healed or sick, whether I'm rich or poor, whether my kids are doing right or not doing right, whether my marriage is good or whether it's not good, whether my money's tight or whether I've got plenty. Our faith cannot be attached to any of those things, because if it is, our faith's not really in him. It's in that. And that's what calls us to be overcomers and our faith to be real when we trust God fully and totally. That even in times we think he's not hearing us, oh, he's hearing you. He's hearing you. Why hasn't he moved yet? He's moving. You just don't see it. Why hasn't he gave me what I need? It's on the way. Just wait on it. Just wait on it. I've got to believe he is enough in every season, or I really can't believe him at all. Verse 6. The heathen raised, the kingdoms were moved, he uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. We know what a refuge is. It's a place of safety. It's a place we go to escape harm and danger. It's a refuge. God is that refuge. His presence is that refuge. His glory is that refuge. It doesn't mean that tragedy doesn't happen. Doesn't mean, I mean, how many times do we hear this saying, bad things happen to good people? And they do. My God, they do. There's, you know, it's not fair. You know, Tony Bunton, my spiritual mentor, who I love so much, 54 years old, off the earth, 54. I'm not way, way behind that. I know y'all don't believe that. I appreciate that. But I'm not way, way behind that. Does it seem fair, this preacher of the gospel, this prophet of God, this amazing man that cared more about others than himself, and he showed that always. The phone calls before Sunday service, he would call me to encourage me. The times he would stop by the office and pray with me. And he's gone. Gone. Left behind six children. They're all grown, of course, but six children, a wife of 40 years. All that's gone. He's a man of God. And yes, he was filled with the Holy Ghost, if y'all want to know that. Yes, he was a man of God who prayed in his prayer language, who shouted the victory, who fasted, and who sought God's will, who preached, who prayed, who anointed with oil, who believed in all the apostolist, the charismatic gifts of the Spirit, all of them. He walked in them and operated in them, believed in them. But yet he's not here. So what do we say to that? Because there's no way I'm saying, you know what, if he had more faith, he wouldn't have died. If he'd have fasted three more days, man, that sickness would have went away. You know, if he would have done this a little bit better, he'd still be on the earth. His hands, his life, was in the hands of a holy God. And I know this sounds cliche-ish, but if you hear with, and I'm talking about hearing with your inner ear this morning, if you will hear this with your real ear, it'll change your life. God knows best. Oh, but we try to sway God, don't we? You know, Melanie brought up a very good point, and she brought up a few years ago, actually, and I kind of fought her on it because God just brought different things in my life in the last couple years, really different. But Melanie brought this up several years ago, and it kind of made me mad. I kind of got upset about it. We were talking about salvation. And in this part we agreed on, talking about, you know, salvation is a gift of God. It's not by works. It's by grace. Yes. And she goes, well, if we're saved by the grace of Jesus, it's a gift, then why, she paraphrased it, why do we do other things to try to get God's blessings? Isn't that works too? Now think about the depth of that. Isn't that works too? You know, and what she was bringing up was this, and I did talk to her about this part, and I do believe this, but she was talking about, like, if you fast. If you're fasting for a miracle, is that works? Now, let's just think, stay with me a minute. Because I know that's a big deal to some of us. Because we hadn't heard it this way, but think about it. If we believe salvation is a gift from God, but yet we're fasting for a miracle, or even if we're giving money for a miracle, what are we really doing? See, we don't fast to get a miracle. I explained, talked to Mel about this. Fasting definitely has a purpose. But fasting, the purpose of fasting, in my opinion, is to build my relationship with God and to bring an awareness and maybe to hear his voice in a way that I've not heard it, that I need to hear it. to bring forth maybe a different revelation or a truth that I'm waiting to hear from. It's a relationship building. It's not a miracle thing. I'm not going to eat for 3 days and by George, I want that cancer gone. That's works, isn't it? I don't know. It's something to think about. And so the whole point I'm saying is we have operated with our lives of doing different things to get God to jump in a different way. But let's just say, God, you know what I need. You know my future. And I trust you. I don't want this to happen. You know, Melanie made a good point about our son. The path my son has been on and his own is not a path I would have chosen as a father by far. But Melanie said, you know what? It's his own path. And it's the path God has him on. Now, that sounds almost sacrilegious, don't it? Because we've not heard it that way. What do you mean it's the path God's got him? No, Jamie's on that path because of this and this and this and this and this. Once again, if we believe that God is working all things out for our good, some paths are different than others. I took the Leave It to Beaver path. And guess what? I got problems too. My son has took the James Dean path. And he has problems too. Melanie took the Mary Poppins path. I'm serious, man. You're talking about some Mary Poppins. I mean, if she had an umbrella right now, she'd be floating. And she's got problems. We got problems, all of us. We got problems. My grandma lost her husband of 60 years. Grandma's a good, godly, spiritual, fiery, Holy Ghost, believing, praying, faith, loves Jesus woman. But grandpa's not with us no more. There are things that happen. And I think, and the reason I'm saying all this, you might be sitting there saying, man, I feel worried when I came in. I'm trying to encourage you with this. It'll change your life if you get out of thinking that everything that we do is bringing the defeat in our lives. And everything that we do is bringing the victory in our lives. But if we'll just trust that God is the one that's ordaining our steps and to accept every season. Remember what Paul says? I've learned to be content in whatever I'm in. Whatever season. If I'm in prison, I'm content. If I'm being beat with a rope, Lord, I'm content. If the money's flowing in and I'm building churches, hallelujah, I'm content. Paul says, I've learned to be content in whatever situation that I'm in. And the constant denominator to keep us content is knowing God loves us. And that he truly does know best. He knows what's around that next corner. He knows when he shuts a door, I believe he shuts it because he loves us. And when he opens it, he does it because he loves us. He's always moving in our lives, but sometimes we think, he's not moving when he really is moving because we don't see him that way. We see it as if he was moving, things would be going great. But sometimes things don't go great because God is moving. And it's got a greater purpose, just like Joseph. Made no sense. Joseph was in a pit, then sold as a slave, and then in prison. But man, when he came out, he was a prince, second in command of a nation. It's what God does. Made no sense that three Hebrew children would be thrown in fire. Think about this, man. Think about this. The king standing in front of them. If you don't bow, I'm throwing you in that fiery furnace. Okay, we're not going to bow. And they get thrown in anyway. You think they're wondering when they first start getting pushed in there? Oh, my gosh. Maybe we should have rethought this. No, they made a stand. And they went in that furnace making that stand. And in the back of their mind, they probably thought, we're dying. We're dying. Didn't seem fair they got thrown in a furnace for making a stand. But what happened? God delivered them and had a greater glory for it. There's greater glories that sometimes come out of our sorrows that we don't see in our sorrows because we listen to man tell us the reason we're in sorrows is because we're not doing something right. We don't have that kind of power. When I drive my car, and I'm a good driver, don't care what my wife says, I'm a great driver. Been driving a long time. I've been a lot of places. I know how to drive. But you know what? I'm not protecting myself. When a semi-truck's coming around me, I'm not sitting there saying, you know, semi-truck, don't hit me. Oh, I got the power. Man, that's God watching me. That's God that hits my brakes. That's God that causes harm not to come against my life. That is God, not me. And that's what I trust. Verse 8. Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease to the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow. He cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know in that Texas massacre, be still and still know I'm God. Still know I'm God. Still know I'm in control. Still know I've got every person's life in my hands and their future already planned. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen, and I will be exalted in the earth. We are safe in Christ. Safe. Look, just because we're going through things and just because harm comes doesn't mean that we quit believing and we quit serving and we give up on God. Man, life happens. But Christ happened too. And that peace I have in him, no matter, there's nothing on this earth that can come against us and disrupt and discount and reverse or change or cancel out the price has been paid for us. No matter how much tragedy comes, no matter how much storms come, put your faith in Christ. Trust him. You're safe in him. You're safe in the Lord. You're safe because of his presence. You're safe because of his grace. You're safe because of his mercy. You're safe. And rest in that. And the whole point of bringing this up is to really expound that if we will stop letting every defeat take us back spiritually, here's the reason we can't ever get ahead spiritually. Here's the reason why some of us have been saved 30 years, but we're no stronger than we was 3 decades ago. It's because you're placing your faith on what's happening around you instead of what's happened in you. I know Bill hated to get a hip replacement. It's not something he, hey, Lord, if it's your will, man, replace my hip. That's not what he wanted. He wanted not to have a hip replacement. The point is he did. And the point is God is with him and will get him through this. And he's still alive and he's still well. And he'll be out doing things normal before long. Pretty normal, he'll be doing things like he always was. Our faith can't be in everything that comes against us. I had a guy that quit giving to church. He quit tithing. And I don't even preach on tithing. I don't even preach on, really hardly ever on tithing or on this or that. So y'all know that. This is years ago. He stopped giving. He says, I've been tithing, and God ain't blessed me no more for it. So I'm gonna stop tithing. Okay, so you're tithing just to get a blessing. You're tithing just to get a miracle. Or are you tithing and giving your offering because it's a sacrifice of worship to a God you love? See, it's all about the attitude of heart. He's not a magic genie. You don't give God $100 and he gives you $1,000 back. He can. But he's not a lottery ticket. God's not a scratch-off. Woo! $3 ticket. Got 50. That ain't how God works. We don't give our offering to get something back. We give out of an attitude of worship and love to what God has done for us. We come to church and we serve and we pray because it's a part of our worship and love to God. It's things we do as Christians. It's how we respond as Christians. And if we could get through the mentality that, Lord, I trust in you and my faith's not going to waver because, here's another thing. Did any of you mess up yesterday? No hands. Y'all a bunch of chickens. Anybody sit? Thank you very much for being honest, Anthony. We probably sinned yesterday, didn't we? Thought something wrong, said something wrong, did something wrong. What I mean by sin is something that you know is not what you're supposed to be doing, but you did it anyway. Said an ugly word, whatever you did. You might have went and got plastered last night, whatever. Now think about this. The reason we stay so defeated is because we think that our failures and our mistakes define what God thinks about us. But it doesn't. Because not for the grace of God, as we know, we all would be short of his glory. But that grace built a bridge. And that grace took us from being short of his glory to being part of his glory. That's what grace did. If we're basing how we feel spiritually on everything that we do, we're going to live a very defeated life, because none of us pray or read or worship or serve or do enough, probably, that makes us feel worthy of the grace of God. Victory, we find true victory when we trust in him. I'm safe in him. I'm secure in him. I'm sanctified in him. I'm justified in him. All that, I'm in him. It's all about him. Faith in him. I'm safe. Trust him. Trust him. As a pastor, I see this all the time. When people start having, I mean, church, it's so frustrating to me as a pastor because I don't get the revelation of this. When people start having problems and they're messing up, they drop out of church. Why? We are all big mess ups. Man, we all are broken and we all are confused and every one of us have desires and every one of us have dark corners. I don't care how much light you think you've got, you ain't all that. We've got dark corners, dark thoughts, negative feelings sometimes. And the first thing people do, well, I'm going through a lot of trouble. You know, that's why I don't come to church. I'm going through this. I got this going on. I haven't been there in 6 months, but, you know, just pray for me. Pray. Get here and pray yourself. I ain't had the balls to say anything about it, but I probably will one day. I'm going to probably snap. Get here yourself and pray. My goodness. This tells me this. People's faith is hinged on what they're doing, not on what Christ has done. When you figure out what Christ has done, man, you can't keep you out of the back doors. I got to come give glory to the one who gave all glory to me. Hallelujah. It's easy to accept the good times. It's hard to accept the bad times. We rejoice on the mountain and we cry in the valley. That's okay, we cry. But just know those tears are also ordained by God. And those times of valley are also ordained by God. It yields to a greater purpose. Have faith in him. Let's pray. Father, as this message has been presented today, we know we're safe in you, God. We know that all the terror and all the evil around the world cannot discount, cannot affect, cannot erase, cannot cancel out the price you've already paid for your people. That we are secure in you and that we have a heavenly home and a reward. And our future is certain, God, because of the gift of grace you have blessed us with. Because the price that you paid, because of our transgressions and our sins, you said you would remember no more. And we're thankful for that. But God, I pray this morning for those struggling with their walk right now. And all they're seeing is their mistakes and their failures. And they're letting that define how they believe and how they serve, even how they worship. Let them realize, God, that faith is in you, not in their circumstances, not in their failures, not in the bad times, not even in disaster or sickness. But Lord, we must learn to worship you in all seasons, in all things, through good, through bad, through high and through low, through sickness and through healing, through poverty and through blessing, that we worship you, God, in every season, for you change not. And when our hope is anchored in you, just you, then all of a sudden, when the valley comes, we can stand strong. When the storm rises, we stand in the midst of it and declare, I still got the victory because the victor is in this storm with me. That is where our faith rises, when it's in you, God, and not our situations. Let us look unto you, realizing your will be done, and really believe that and really mean that and really trust that and really walk in that. That whatever comes our way, God, you know best, and I will rest in that assurance of your hope. In the name of Jesus, encourage hearts today to hear this word, that our faith is elevated above our situations. And we give you praise for it in the name of Jesus. Amen. All righty.